World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I don't see anything on my screen here. It's like there I am. Old Spencer's got me up here on the screen. Really running through mud here a little bit this morning. You know, folks, I can't, the last 24 hours, I bet I slept 20 of them, almost 2 days worth. My wife, I think, was probably ready to call the Undertaker. I don't know. I got this, something jumped on me. Was it from Lost Lands? I don't know. I don't know what it was, but you know what's really happened in the, about 14 hours ago, I took some ivermectin and some hydroxychloroquine, and all of a sudden I'm starting to climb out from under this mess. Now, excuse me, chest cold, runny nose, no headache to speak of, but I slept all day yesterday. So bear with me if I'm appear to be a little bit under the weather today. I feel good today, except got sweats, still sweating a little bit. That's gross to think about that, but that is the reality of it. And man, a lot going on. I'm our daughter Abby's birthday. I should know how old she is. How old is Abby? 42. How can I have a child 42 years old? 42 years old. Abby's 42 today, and just a joy to be her daddy and all she's done. And Morgan, what a great family. Paul's got his hand up here real quick. Go ahead, Paul. It's probably about my ivermectin and stuff, huh?
Yeah, wonderful idea to, as we get into the winter months, is to kind of cleanse your body of all those parasites. And I know that people say, oh, I don't have parasites. But no, we don't have Border Patrol in the United States for parasites. We got immigrants everywhere. If you got pets, you're going to have parasites. And the truth is, it's ubiquitous. Everybody has them.
Yeah.
And so what you had was a Herxheimer. That's the fatigue, the lack of energy, the sweats at night, maybe. So,
I couldn't get off the couch, Paul. I could not get off the couch.
That's a good thing. You're going to have more energy than you'll know what to do with now. Just do it every month, man. Anyway, God bless you guys.
Thanks, Paul. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You can say what you want. I don't know why. The hydroxychloroquine and the, what's the other one? My brain. Anyway, ivermectin, I'm telling you, it was noticeable within about 6 hours, really within about 6 hours. I began to feel a little bit of recovery. I'm not a doctor, although I have a doctor as a friend, and I'm just telling you, man, it's lifted me out of it. By the way, not Tylenol. You're following that, right? Hey, Paul, what about that? Not Tylenol, right? They're finding out Tylenol's been killing us, right?
Oh, man, you know, it's its own category. I've been telling everybody for 20 years. I have never prescribed that stuff, but that'll cause your liver to die slowly, and it'll be a slow. In fact, there was just something on, what was that? Twitter. Some woman who hates Trump decided she was going to take a bottle of Tylenol. Yeah. Now she's going to die of fulminant liver failure. Depletes the glutathione, the only thing that keeps us going, right? I mean, that's the antioxidant of the body. And it depletes it, so you kill yourself. It's nuts, guys.
Paul, it was unbelievable. And I said to my wife yesterday, or maybe whoever I was talking, I didn't talk to anybody yesterday, but I remember saying this. I grew up in a time when my mom would say, go take an aspirin, and somewhere along the line it became, go take a Tylenol.
Guys,
you know what I'm talking about? Go take a Tylenol. And I was a kid, take an aspirin, baby aspirin, but now go take a Tylenol.
And it's banned in most countries.
Banned in most, folks, is this unbelievable? Unbelievable what it's done to us. I don't want to make this a medical discussion, but this is really, really important. Somebody asked me, Coach, what'd you take? I took ivermectin paste and I took hydroxychloroquine pills. I have some tablets that I was able to get. That's what I took. And whatever was hanging on me, man, it's I'm still taking it, but it's knocking me out. I didn't know yesterday if I'd be able to do this show. I've never missed a show from illness. I didn't know if I'd be able to do it. So, Paul, thanks for your encouragement, and I appreciate you more than you know, just coming in and reinforcing what I feel in my own body, man, what I feel in my own
body. You know, when you feel like that, you got to clean stuff up, and that's where vitamin C comes in.
Yeah, I'm pumping that in me too. Yes, sir.
Yeah, liposomal, Mercola has a good one, but that's high-dose vitamin C. An IV, if you can find it in your area, if you're really sick, with a good saline solution. I mean, it'll prop you up, man. It's a life-saving kind of thing, guys.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Paul. Boy, there's so much stuff out there. Isn't it? It's a wow. Come on in, Mel.
Hey, thanks. I thought since we were doing announcements, I would pop in here.
Sure, go ahead.
Rochelle and I are in conversation about, getting back in the saddle again and continuing our online Bible study. So more to come on that. We haven't quite picked a date yet, but we are going to be continuing with the book of Revelation, and we invite you to all consider coming. It'll probably be on a Thursday night.
Awesome. Awesome, Mel. And well, folks, we're in times right now that we're going to look back on the times that we're in right now and say, my goodness, what was it? Everything, the Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the foundations tells us in Psalm 11:3 that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I just want you to think about this. What foundational principle in America that we would consider American isn't crumbling? Can you name one foundation that's not crumbling? Other than government, and they're building up government, but government, the government that we used to have, that's not the government. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a question. What can we do? And we find ourselves right now in the midst of an opportunity to really get some stuff done. I had the honor last night. I don't know if you can find this or not, Spence. Doug Hagman. I was on with Doug Hagman last night. They called me yesterday evening about, said, hey, can you come on tonight? Last minute thing. And I had 30 minutes on with Hagman last night at the Hagman Report live around the world, and bragged on you guys as I always try to do. Folks, look, I want you to know this, and I'm not patting myself on the back. There ain't nobody doing what we're doing. There's nobody doing what we're doing. And I try to talk about the staking, and I bragged on you guys and things that we are individually doing, and we have to do more of it. Now, Spencer, this really frustrated me because when I got on the Hagman Report today, I couldn't get it to play. I don't know what got to sign in to it. I don't know what the heck. I don't know. See, will it play? I mean, I don't know what's going on. So I want you to know, I talked about the refiner's fire last night, Craig. You would have been proud of me. I talked about staking, dropping stones, what we're trying to do, the impact we're having of it. Because friends, even though we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the supernatural is gone from the church. There is no, we're not even taught or discuss the supernatural in the church anymore. Now, wait a minute. We discuss the supernatural if we want to talk about waving flags and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff. But the idea that we're wrestling against, demons, demonic, that we're in a world right now where demons are demons are invading the lives of people, for the most part going unopposed in the American culture. Is it any wonder we're in the mess we're in? And there it is. Can anybody explain to me how Christianity could possibly become so powerless? And you say, Coach, no, it's not powerless. Yes, it is. If our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Why would he teach us to pray that? Why would he teach us to pray that if he didn't mean his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Why would he teach us to pray that? Why is it the church won't get involved in these issues of the day? How can a church, any church, I don't care what church it is, sit back and watch the children in the public schools be indoctrinated with homosexuality and transgenderism and atheism and not rise up and do anything about it? I don't have an answer for it. I don't have an answer. And why is it that I seem like I'm the freak, that I'm the only one blowing the horn? I'm the only one saying, come on, man, come on, let's get involved. I don't know. So I thank God for that Doug Hagman let me, just out of spur of the moment, they just called me out of the blue, said, can you be on tonight? Yeah, I said, are you kidding? And I talked about Joshua 1, stoning, and what we need to do. And do you guys have, some of you out there have never ever, maybe some of you are in here this morning for the first time because you saw it on the Hagman report last night. Do you guys have any idea the wonderful things that are going on with people in this queue? Things that you're doing? Do you have any idea? And how hard it is to get others involved with it? And the dead churches sitting around that won't get involved. They won't unite. They won't unite and fight. Somebody explain to me what the hell's going on. We would rather argue with another Christian over denominational issues than we would fight the freaking enemy that's right in front of us, the one's trying to destroy our soul. We can't get churches to come together. That's why Chad says that we're the church outside the church. We're picking up where the church left off. That's what we're doing here. And the fruit that we have, in fact, that's what I'm sorry. I gotta get this off my chest. Get it off my chest. We shouldn't be, folks. I would never coach a football team that didn't think they could win. Would you guys? Would you guys want to play on a football team who didn't think they could win? Nobody wants to. Losers, losers. Do you understand the church is losers to the world? Do you understand that? That the world is looking at the church and laughing. They're laughing at us. Huh? Oh yeah, laughing at folks. We don't believe anything. We don't stand up for what we believe. We don't stand up for what we believe, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. And then everyone once in a while, somebody will stand up and speak out, and they get whacked down, and then they get told by other churches, "Oh, you need to be more loving. You need to be more Christ-like." Hey, dudes, he flipped over tables. And not only did he flip over tables, he walked into the church and flipped over the tables. You say, "Well, Coach Dave, I'm not Christ. I can't go flip over the." Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's time we stood up and called out those in authority in our churches who ain't doing their jobs. And you know why they're not doing their job? They don't know what their job is. They don't know what their job is. They think their job is to pat you on the back and rub you on the back and rub your belly and tell you what a wonderful Christian you are. And Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life. And I'm hot this morning, aren't I? I'm hot this morning. And there's nobody to blame but ourselves and our the idea. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I believe he's coming back. But I know this, fourth quarter of the football game, you don't sit on the ball. When the game's on the line, you don't sit on the ball and wait for, can I say it, the Hail Mary pass to come in and rescue us out of this mess. Real Christianity is transformative, man. It changes everything that it comes in contact with. Can somebody explain to me why Charlie Kirk, 100 million people? Why? Because they saw themselves one brave man. That's what they saw. They saw themselves one brave man. And they wondered, they couldn't figure out what was it? Why would they kill Charlie Kirk? People had never even heard of him. Seen the first video. Never. 100 million tuned in to see what this guy's saying. Boy, if we don't understand what's going on, if we don't see it, if we don't see this opportunity. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. That's why I bragged on you guys. I tried. I didn't get to brag on all of you last night. You can watch the last 30 minutes. I want to encourage you that whatever you're doing out there, keep doing it. And we got to up our game. We got to up our game, folks. We are surrounded with unsaved people. Just like I said about the people at the Lost Lands Conference. They're looking for the supernatural. They're looking, 100 million people. Folks, they could have had a funeral for Donald Trump and 100 million people wouldn't have turned in. They knew there was something different about Charlie Kirk. What was it? It was a supernatural thing that happened that drew the world to this funeral where they heard the gospel preached. You know that, don't you? They heard the gospel articulated probably in a way that they'd never, ever heard it before. Yep. And the church still don't get it. Church still don't. Well, I quit speaking negative like that. That's why we need to stake him. That might bring up Refiner's Fire. Bring that up there. I'm going to get you all in there. Hang in there with it. I'll get you all in here. Folks, there ain't nobody doing what you guys are doing. There's nobody doing what you guys are doing. And I don't know if we're going down there. I'm way behind. Scroll down, Spencer. Scroll down to where it shows the map. Now, look, I'm so far behind on this, how to add a church. I have right now about 75 churches that I've staked, 75 of them. And I don't know how to get them. I don't know how to get them on the list here. Maybe Craig can come in and show me how to do it. Every one of those churches. See, this thing ought to be this flag. Hang on. Some of you don't know what we're talking about. When you stake a church, when you prayer walk a church, we want to record it here. Now, I don't look. Hang on a second, Craig. If you're out there, I'm 72 years old. Scroll down, Spencer. Scroll down. What does it mean, social platform? I don't even know what that means.
You don't have to do that. It's not a required field.
Then get it out of there. Then.
Well, it's
confusing to a guy like me.
I know, but it's not confusing to millennials and Gen Z.
Okay.
And stuff.
Well, it ain't millennials that are doing it.
Well, you know, Charlie Kirk's got a lot. Okay. But here's the thing. It's very easy, Coach. Anything that has an asterisk, you just have to put information. Basically, the address and, you know, where it was. Okay. That's what you got to do, because that's going to help geocenter it to the map. Okay. And you don't have to put your name if you don't want to. There might be some people that don't want to. So if you do that and hit enter, okay, it will come up and it will redo it. Everybody's familiar with putting a credit card in, right? You familiar with putting a credit card in? You familiar with ordering dinner over the internet? Same thing. Very easy fields, and you can do it multiple times. And so we got a lot of the clunkiness out of it.
Okay,
and
good.
So there's more.
I'm not being critical, Craig.
I'm not taking it as critical, Coach. Okay. There's no criticism in your voice. But, you know, hey, it's just like everything else. You know, when the first game of the season, did you have a couple little rough edges? Yeah, probably you did, right? Yeah. So you corrected them as the season went on.
That's right. Folks, we need to do this. And Craig, I introduced this to the world last night. Now, whether they'll do it or not, I don't know. I'd have had you on, but I got such a late call to be on with him anyway. So, folks, this is all good. And I know that some of you guys out there are doing unbelievable stuff. And what I would like to do right now, I wrote it down here. I want to hear some testimonies. And then I want to know this. What's holding you back? Remember that old, was it a seatbelt commercial? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? You, I'm talking to you. What's holding you back from getting engaged? If you come in here every morning, something's drawing you here every morning. What are you doing? Are you doing anything? Are you going out and dropping a stone here and there? Are you doing anything? What's holding you back? Huh? See, we've been trained in Christianity that only the professional Christians do it. Only the pros, only the, all the ordained Christians, they get to do that. In fact, where did ordination come from, I wonder? I wonder if Jesus Christ ordained the 12 apostles, or did he just send them? Or did he just send them? Go, man, go. And now we legalize everything and ordain people, and we get our license under this government, license. And so we sit back and say, what am I supposed to do? Why, I'm not a professional Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a professional one, right? And that's what they've done to us. And so we sit around and wait for the professional Christians to do it, and they ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. This is a calling to the people. Was that was Craig's one? Wasn't that your line, Craig? A calling to the, not a calling to the pastors, not a calling to the bishops, not a calling to the priests, a calling to the people. You do not, you friends, you don't need permission from some guy in a black robe. You don't need his permission to serve the Lord. Oh, no, you don't. And you're able to do it. You know, my wife said, praise God, today I woke up and it's raining. Oh, my God, it's raining. It ain't rained here in like forever. I woke up and it was raining. You know, my wife said, she said, darn it, it's raining. I was going to go staking. Boom. I was going to go staking. Boom! We got to get involved, folks. We got to get involved. Spencer, I just sent you to, Galatians. Pull that up for me. I'm sorry, because I want it to be about you guys. I want to hear from you guys today. Look, I could come here every day, and somebody told me one time that I could tell a story about a dog and make a cat cry. And I have the gift of communication. I understand that. But that ain't what it's about. Because if I don't communicate to you to a way to get you off of your ass to go do something, then it's just blabber. It's just blabber. That's all it is. Blabber. And if we're going to sit around and wait for our leadership, call play, coach. Hey, coach, call play. Okay, wait, I'm organizing one. I got to run it by the elder board. Make sure the elder board's okay with it. And if they're all okay with it, then we'll do it. All right, I'll get back to you. Yes, yes. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Wow. Bewitched, 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 bewitched. Winkle your nose. Remember that? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who's bewitched us? Who's bewitched us? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by rule following? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain yet in vain, still in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the law? By faith. And even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Foolish Galatians! Thinking teaching homosexuality to our children normal. Normal. It's normal. Yeah, they do it in all the schools. I'll relax here in a second. I'm just getting it off my chest. Because I promised I was going to make it about you and what you guys said. Play number one, and then I'm going to open it up. Paul, get you. Some of you had your hands up, and you took them down. Come on back in. I'm going to shut up for a minute. Charlie Kirk on men. Go ahead.
Let's be honest. We got to raise our game in this culture. We are constantly around one. They say, oh, just go place another bet on this running back to run 100 yards. Just go to the cannabis dispensary and medicate yourself. That's all a bunch of BS. Go look to your grandfather's generation that stormed Normandy Beach, that built this nation, that started big businesses, that went on adventure. If the most important thing for you is just feeling good, you're going to end up miserable. But if the most important thing is doing good, you will end up purposeful. Purpose will give you happiness. You see, we live in a country where they think that purpose, where they think that happiness is pleasure. We know that purpose is above all of this. Serving God. Understanding why we are here. That we are made in his image. That there is a struggle of good versus evil. By the way, you're involved in that struggle every single day on the college campuses. Every day you get to fight for what is good and what is true and beautiful. So next time when you're on a college campus, and if you want to be a man, this is what you do. If you want to stay a boy, go and do what your other friends do. But men say, you know what? No, I'm actually not going to go hook up with a bunch of girls. I'm going to save myself for marriage. Actually, I'm not going to go do that. But if you want to go be a boy, go do that. It takes no skill and no talent and no self-restraint whatsoever just to follow your flesh. An animal can do that. A dog can do that. You know what mature people do? Mature people say no to what feels good and they pursue what is good. And far too often on college campuses, we have these grown boys. And I'm talking to a lot of you in this audience, and it's time for you guys to up your game. It's time for you guys to stop doing just what feels good all the time. Oh, yeah, we're just going to go get, you know, blackout drunk till 2 a.m. and hook up with some stranger. No, no, no. If you want to stay in the lower standard, a miserable cycle of debt and suffering and depression, lack of community, go do that. Instead, on a Saturday night, say, you know what? I'm going to hang out with some friends that are not going to drink, are not going to, you know, engage with this stuff. And then maybe on Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church or I'm going to go to mass. And then I'm going to go work out. And then I'm going to study. Who will be happier? You know I'm right.
Amen. I know he's right. Dr. Paul, come on in. Then Brett, go ahead. Open forum. Come on in. Got to unmute, Paul. Oh, he cut himself off. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, Coach, I knew where you were right when you kicked Dublin High School's butt in football, and then we got together again, and I'm forever on your coaching tree. And you know, Coach, because you brought a group out to the Hula Bowl last year. It's such an opportunity that I was already going to the high schools and college campuses across America. Thanks to you, Coach. Thanks to a lot of people sponsoring me. Nothing stopped. It just elevated. And now I'm getting in front of the fraternity guys. That same type of message. I don't need Charlie Kirk to tell me jack squat. I already have. Coach Dave, you've been doing it for 30, 40 years. So I don't need to publicize where I'm at. That's why I took the Ohio Brett website down. I don't want to let Lucifer know where I'm at. But I'm forever on Coach Dave's coaching tree. I am part of the Pass the Salt ministry. The Hula Bowl work is part of this team.
Amen. Amen. And we support you. Do what it is the Lord has called you to do. Hey, folks, you know the Bible says, I don't know where it is right now. Somebody can find it for me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What is vision? See, vision is not sight. They're not the same thing. I can see. Jesus said, you've seen and you've heard, but you've not understood. What's the vision? The vision is the long-term where you're going. Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for your life? I'm 72 years old. How much more time do I have? I have a vision of what I want to do and what I want to see, and I get up every day and I pursue that vision. Do you have a vision? Are you just going to wait? You're just going to sit around, not do anything, and have the opportunity to advance the kingdom? This is the most open time. It's going to be hard because we got to clean out a lot of mess. This has been this most open time ever to advance the kingdom of God, which is our purpose here on earth. And how do we think, Christians, that God is going to be glorified if we continue to teach our children lies, teach them things that aren't true? How long are we, churches, going to permit the schools, the public schools, to destroy our children that come to our church every Sunday and go into Sunday school? And Sunday school is so important. We give them an hour on Sunday, and then how many hours a day? 6-7 hours a day in the public school where they undermine everything. Look, I don't know the solution. I don't have the solution. I can tell you this. The most powerful moment, the greatest opportunity in my lifetime is before us right now. What are we going to do? Somebody come in here. I'm just rambling. You know why I'm rambling? Because there's nothing worse than losing a game you ought to be winning. Nothing worse. As a football coach, and sometimes I'd be in the middle of a football game and the game would be late in the third quarter and we're tied with these clunkers. And I'd say, how can they possibly play with us? How can they do that? I'm thinking, folks, how can the devil possibly do this? All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples, teach them to observe all I've commanded. How can we be in this mess other than we're more interested in evacuation than evangelism? Come on in, Craig.
Well, I'm just observation. I was just listening to a Zoom call, and someone said, "Hey, put in about your chat, and you know, it's about praying for the pastors." And you know, I didn't really have the opportunity to speak. I mean, this isn't about praying for the pastors, although, yeah, it could be. Okay, what was the New Testament church? Acts 2:1. They were in one place and one accord. So you're praying over the location. The fact that there's a building there, right? Is you're praying over the people. Yeah. Is the pastor part of a people? Oh, absolutely. Does he, you know, is he the shepherd? Does he have a role? Well, absolutely. But so do the elders, the deacons, and the people that come in there, right? Just like, you know, you had a football team, you know, yeah. Did anyone just pray for the quarterback that he would have a good game? Well, he can have the best game in the world. If he doesn't have the people blocking in front of him, it's not going to be a good game, is it, Coach?
That's right.
So
that's right.
The thing is we're going to locations in our city, and we're asking for the Holy Spirit to refine that location and for that to operate as it should, because it's carrying Christ's name. And Christ wrote 7 letters to 7 different churches. And if you read each letter, each one has its own specific thing that it was written to that church. Now, it was applicable to all because it ended up with the he who has ears to hear to the churches. Okay, so this is what Refiner's Fire is. It has nothing. I mean, it's not about the pastor. It's not about the building, which we automatically think because that's what we've been programmed to think, right? That's just, it's our first truth, right? Hey, that's where the church is, Craig. Oh, okay, that's a building. I was like, hey, that's the firehouse. Oh, okay. No, we're praying over the locations. And unfortunately, Coach, those locations have been infiltrated by the mindset of evil forces.
Amen.
Even though some of the people are good people, if the devil has gotten control of their mind or their thought and twisted it not into pure 100% of what Christ was speaking to them, then of course they're going to react like that, you know? So this is all we're doing. We're doing it over the fall of 2025. And so participate, because this is powerful that the Holy Spirit, you're asking him to come in, right? Just like when you accept Christ, right? What do? You ask him. You say, Lord, will you please come into my heart? And guess what he does? He does. So I believe that, you know, he's going to do a mighty work over this next 3 months.
So Craig, so Michelle's going to go to Quartz Ranch, and she's going to go staking today. She called a friend, say, yeah, let's go. Folks, this is so, you can do that. Can't you do that? Can't you get involved that way? Go do it. This is, praise the Lord. Randy, come in.
Coach, the Galatians 3:1, I woke up with that on my heart this morning, Coach.
Me too.
They
bewitched us. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, look up bewitched. Keep going, Randy.
So, yeah, I rephrase that into our timeline today, right now. If Paul was here, if he was here writing to the American church, Coach, here's what he'd say. Oh, foolish Americans, who has bewitched you that you so easily allow things like Judaism, Satanism, the occult, Zionism, all the isms, how have you so easily allowed that to undermine Christ our King?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
See, Coach, that message is to us today, right now,
it is.
2025. And where he isn't king, Coach, that's what you have. You're obeying something else that's not the truth.
Amen. Folks, bewitched means fascinated or charmed. Fascinated or charmed. Remember Elizabeth Montgomery, right? And to bewitch means you believe a lot of stuff that isn't true. We would call that religion probably for the most part. You know, do you guys have any idea how simple the gospel is? Just how simple it is. A simple articulation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Come on back in, Craig. Can anybody talk out there besides Craig and Randy? Anybody else got anything to say?
Yeah, please.
Hey, I love you both.
Hey, speak
don't
up.
Don't get me wrong.
Everybody speak up. That's true, Coach, because you don't want to hear the same people all the time. And that's what happens in church, right?
Right.
The same people doing the same thing.
Yep.
And you know, nobody
cares what I'd say. Why? I could never say anything important. Go ahead.
Well, and that's why the fire came down, right? That's why Refiner's Fire is so applicable, right? Because the fire came down, right, on the first church. And the fire can come down on this church right now. Nothing says it can't, right? Unless there's not enough faith to ask for it, right? That's why Jesus had to leave Bethlehem. Nazareth, I'm sorry. Because what? It wasn't that he couldn't do the miracles. It's just like, hey, you're this snotty little kid that, you know, complained, you know. And he said, well, I gotta roll out of here. The faith won't allow me to work. But what I'm saying, Coach, is this is how important, and it's something that we did. When we prayed over the Super Bowl that was held at State Farm, you know, auditorium where Charlie
Same arena, right?
Well, right. We prayed over, I think it was an hour and 40 minutes. I think that was our first one. Remember, we were praying over that location.
Yeah.
Because Rihanna was coming down.
That's right.
Red, and she was pregnant.
Yep.
Representing the coming of the Antichrist and all this stuff, right? And we were like, Lord, don't, you know, let this message go out. And then the Lord goes, and, you know, I believe that he was taken out by a curse and different things. And of course, they tried to do it on, you know, next to 11, because that's chaos, right? September 10th. But you know what the Lord did? I don't think they figured out, well, he's over in Phoenix, and, you know, his wife was, what, Miss Arizona or whatever. I was wondering why he lived there to begin with. And she goes, you know, hey, that really kind of ticks me off. I'm going to do better than, I forget who the big singer. She said, I want to have a bigger crowd than Taylor Swift. And she goes, I wonder where the local place is. Well, I guess I'll just have to use this stadium over here. What I'm saying is I'm confirming in the spirit to everybody that what we did, the people that joined that, and I would really go back, if you are a Coach Dave live person in his archives, to February 12th. Of 2023 and watch that 1 hour and 40 minutes of prayer, and then go back 2 years from now to play the tape, right, Coach, like you do the after action.
Yep.
And see if any of those prayers got answered on September 21st.
Hey, you know Craig, and Doug Hagman last night, God bless Doug Hagman, he brought it up, the Georgia Guidestones. We went and prayed on the 12 district courts, the stuff that we have done that has bared fruit is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, folks. Every time we go, God does. Every time. In obedience, when we go, he does. And it may not be the way that we would have done it, but something happens when he does. And I never made the correct connection that you just made, that we prayed against that Super Bowl in Arizona, the same place where the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Jeezy peasy. Martin, come on in. Tell us your story, not Thanks. Your life story.
Thanks, Coach. I just wanted to touch on something that you brought up earlier in the program. I want to put this thought in every single Christian pastor or billing person in any given American church. I want to put this thought in your head. You see these children being given porn by their teachers, and you complain about it, and you preach against evil. Well, I'm going to ask you, Pastor, would you do this? Would you take some of your funds, set it aside, talk to the church down the street, say, would you put money of yours aside? We combine it, and we hire a Christian lawyer. We go and we sue those schools that we're praying about, that we want the evil extracted from. How about you be the agent, Pastor, of your own prayer? Because that's what we would like to do, and that's what Coach Dave Live's about. Let's be prayer answerers along with the prayer warriors. That's Amen. All I got, Coach.
Amen, Mark. Come on, man. We got, folks, to up our game. We got to up our game. The fields are white unto the harvest. We got to up our game. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
And maybe we need to go see Hillary Clinton again.
We did that, didn't we? And by the way, yeah. Randy went and laid hands on the gate, and she ain't done shit since. Pardon my French, right? She hasn't done anything since. Since Randy Lunsford went and laid hands on that threshold. Amen?
Yep. And she was on Good Morning Joe yesterday. She says, I'm just going to have to say it. It's the white man's fault. Is it his religion, the things he believe in, it's the white man's fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is the white man's fault that everything's as messed as it is. That's for sure. And what is it? because they divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, put us in 46,000 different denominations. Churches don't even work together. Church on every corner. Church on every corner. They don't communicate. They don't work together. They don't do nothing. Look, I'm a football coach. Huh? You can't win a game with four different locker rooms. It just doesn't work that way. Doesn't work. Mary Kelly, come on in.
Good morning. Too much to say, but my short version is on April 4th, 2025, I quit my high-paying job because I live in New York and I need to pay the rent, blah, blah, blah. And but I had a soul sickness. For many years, I've been listening to Coach Dave, but I was doing it for inspiration because I was depressed and sad and I need some lifting up. And I'm an athlete. But I wasn't doing anything until one day you talked about going to the water and putting salt in the water.
Yeah, we did that. Yep.
So I did it. And, you know, you think it's stupid and everything. Well, the day I did it, here comes the Harbor Police. So I just wave at them and then I went back to work. And so I felt good, you know. So anyhow, that's how it started. And then I just kept listening to you. And so now I work at New York City is the number one place in America for abortions. We have three centers here. And so every day I work with women to discuss with them their Christianity or their religion. And so that they change their mind and that they don't have an abortion, that there's so many different options, pro-life. And so I'm not really into numbers, but, you know, they keep the numbers. And right now we've saved like 30% babies. Mm. And this is since I started. And it's not me. We have a group of other people with us. So what I did was Brooklyn is the worst and nobody was coming in to make appointments. So when you started with the staking,
yeah.
Again, my human mind is like, this is stupid. But I wrote the verse on the rock. I placed rocks all around Brooklyn, you know, by the site. I did the salt. I put them inside the center. And now we're overflowing with appointments. And I did this last week.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And thank you. Thank you. You're my family, everybody on here, although I don't talk that much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bearing fruit. Randy just put in the chat, looking back in our past, after every event where we showed up, we must realize that we were being prophetic by being obedient in those moments. Time has proved this, y'all. Folks, when we show up, when God's people show up, God moves. God moves. Huh? He moves. He moves, Dr. Paul. Hey, folks, after you make sure you take your hand down or I'll call on you again. Okay?
I'm sorry about that, Coach. The last time I hit the wrong button. I'm okay. Doing it on my phone today. You know, Supreme Court, Beth just posted it. It's amazing. We got rid of, you know, federalizing abortion. Now we're getting rid of federalizing the marriage between a man and a man and a girl and a girl.
How about that?
And that's going to the Supreme Court. Do you remember that 2015?
I do.
That woman who decided she's not going to sign that marriage certificate to two men or two women.
Yep.
And that woman sued her for not putting her name on it.
Yep.
$350,000, that poor woman that refused to sign that birth certificate.
I don't know if you know this. Kim Davis, we went down there and we stood with her. We prayed over her when that whole thing
was going to the Supreme Court, Coach. It's on the docket. They're going to get rid of it because it's insane.
It's insane. God's people, most people don't even agree with it. But see, we are in a minority ruled nation. You do understand that, don't you, friends?
Uh-huh.
Minority rules. It's all about individual rights, minority rules. Say, no, 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 not on my watch, baby. No, 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 no. You have the same individual right as I have, but you can't marry a man. You're not allowed to marry a man. This is pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Pretty simple stuff.
And it is the 40 days of life, by the way, internationally, 40 days of life started yesterday.
Yep. Hey, go stake abortion clinics. Michelle, we haven't done that. Let's go stake the abortion clinic in Columbus. Go stake abortion clinics. Come on, folks. Wake up. Now's the time. Now's the wave. Let's run with it. Jeff, quickly. Thanks, Paul.
Coach, you know, you're talking about, you and Craig both mentioned you don't need a pastor, you don't need the elders, you don't need the deacons, blah, blah, blah. Quick story. Years ago, as my 25 years of coaching, we took a, you know how you always do your draft. You got, say, six baseball teams in your city, little league teams. You do your draft. Well, we left. When we got done that night, we were all sitting at the meeting. 11-year-olds didn't make little league team. 11-year-olds. Now, them are 10, 11, and 12s. So I raised my hand, asked him, I said, what are we going to do with all these 11-year-olds going back to minor league and trying to hit a baseball at a 8-year-old? So somebody's going to get hurt. So long story short, I offered to give up my team I had for years. I said, let's do a draft. Everybody, because they didn't want to redraft. Everybody had their kids picked. They had their favorites. They're ready to go win a championship. So I said, just give me, each coach, give me two names. Who was on your list next to pick that didn't make it? So they come up, we took 12 kids that were nobodies. Oh, these kids, I mean, they were horrible. So I took the team. Next morning, they called, said, Little League Association called her, said, we can't do that. That's against the rules. You cannot do a draft that way. We did it anyways. So I took these Bad News Bears. They were terrible. And we even had to start with about 10 feet away, line up. You just throw a baseball to one side and then throw it back to the other side. They couldn't, nobody could catch it. The balls were rolling all over the place. I'm shaking my head like, oh, my, what did I get into? These kids couldn't play catch. So we start, long story short, we started off the season when we had to play Don's Plaza Shell. That was coached by Doug Savage, the high school baseball coach that was great at baseball, great records. So him and his two assistants from the high school team, we had to play them opening day. We come up to the – and at but opening day, all I did was try and teach these kids to catch the baseball. Coach Savage meets me at home plate with the umpires. He says, how are they looking, Coach? I said, terrible. I said, we ain't even had the first lick of batting practice. And this is opening day. We got throttled. So we go through that season, 0-17. Didn't win a game. The next season, we started off 0-5 or something. Still wasn't winning. Fourth year out, we won the city championship with these Bad News Bears. And off that first group of kids, three kids made the varsity baseball team. They would have never got the opportunity to play if somebody didn't put them in the game.
Amen.
So I look back on that. That first year we was 0-17, them kids all signed a baseball and put it in one of them little plastic things on a home plate like they were just professionals. And I still have that baseball this day. But them kids, nobody would even give them a chance. But, you know, we'd be getting throttled. I'd bring him in.
So, Jeff, the moral of the story is, if you can let me make a moral to it, the church is full of Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Nobody teaching them how to play.
And that's what I was going to say. We just got to teach some of these people how to play.
You know, they never played. They want to play. They don't think they're good enough. They can't catch it. They can't throw it. They don't know what to do. But they can stand on a corner and hold a sign if somebody shows them how to do it. They can walk around and put a rock down and pray if somebody shows them how to do it. And the churches are creating Bad News Bears. That's what we got. Betty.
Amen.
Yes, I just wanted to say there's a lot of things I do and I don't even speak it because I always think about the Bible saying that you're supposed to do everything in secret between you and the Lord, you know.
Don't run yet, Mel. I'll get you in here. Go ahead. Hurry up.
Yeah, but
Betty, Mel's got to run. Let me get her in. I'll bring you right back in. Go, Mel.
Yeah, for the people, I know the people in the huddle, I'm kind of making references in the chat, but for people who are going to be watching this, Spencer, if you can pull up the link that I posted at 7:38, and also the post that I just put in at 7:45. These are the actions that the Liberty Action Network has been supporting that have been referenced during this meeting today. So this is the ritual, you know, Super Bowl halftime show that Craig was referring to. So, and that was on February 2023. And then in the same month, I didn't realize it was the same month, the salting of the water, the healing of the water, that was February 19th, 2023, that it was posted. But it was kind of an ongoing effort that, you know, the train derailment had just happened in East Palestine in Ohio. Yeah. And we partnered with another ministry and to do this. And so it was a great success, and it really got people off their chairs and their couches and, you know, out doing things. So I just wanted to mention that, Coach. I got to run.
Thanks, Mel. Appreciate it. Boy, that's powerful stuff there, man. I forget some of the stuff we've done. Doug Hagman reminded me of stuff that we've done. I'd forgotten all about. Sorry, Betty, didn't mean to walk on you like that. Come on back in.
That's all right. Well, yesterday I went to a funeral. A friend of mine committed suicide. So when I got out of the car, I had a rock. And as I was talking to the guy, he turned around and I dropped it. And I was saying a prayer as I was walking away. You know, I was surprised that it taking authority over that there was a lot more joyous in that funeral home than there was crying. And I think it was because we took authority over it. And I know one thing, I like to do things. I don't tell too many people what I do, but these little Jesuses, these little figures, I walk around, I throw them in the bathroom, you know, on a corner or somewhere, and I say a little prayer about them and these coins. So there's so many ways that you can doing things.
Amen.
And you don't have to, you know, say, I did this, I did that, I did this, you know, because it's supposed to be really between you and God. It's supposed to be done in secret.
You can't drop a rock and say a prayer, folks. Come on. Come on. Thanks, Betty. Hey, Spencer.
Amen. Amen.
Go back to, Spencer, go back to the picture of Rihanna. You know what I'm talking about, Spencer? Huh? Folks. You tell me that's not demonic. Can you guys look at that picture and tell me that's not demonic? And that is being promoted mainstream America. That is mainstream America. Back in my father's day, they would have hung her. You know that, right? They would have hung somebody, a witch like this, right? Instead, they put her on the Super Bowl. What a mess. Claudine, come in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, Medusa, for sure. I wanted to read something to you I received this morning from a constituent. I urge you to reject the Trump Education Department's attempt to force MAGA propaganda into our schools. This week, Secretary Linda McCann announced that $137 million in federal education funds originally designated to support minority students in teacher training will instead be delivered diverted to develop a civics curriculum designed by Trump's political allies, including PragerU, Hillsdale College, and Turning Point USA. These organizations have a clear record of producing revisionist content that whitewashes slavery, denies systematic racism, and distorts American history to fit a far-right agenda. Trump's allies have even proposed model laws that require the glorification of the founding fathers while banning the teaching of systematic racism or gender identity. This is indoctrination. Our schools should teach students to think critically, not to repeat propaganda lies.
As she repeats propaganda lies, right?
I urge you to take immediate action to block this dangerous curriculum in our state. Public schools must remain places of truth, inclusivity, and freedom, not tools for authoritarian whitewashing.
Amen. Hey, Claudine, let me ask you a question. The slaves were freed in what, 1860, Emancipation Proclamation? How many generations ago is that? How long can black people continue to blame slavery? Does anybody know how many generations ago that would be? How many? I'm not against black, but stop it. Stop it. You've been programmed. Stop it. How many generations has it been? The black people used to be very, very spiritual. Very, very spiritual people. Are they today? Well, some of them are.
But Coach, haven't we all been enslaved in one format or another throughout time?
Absolutely. And they keep playing that crap on us and we keep swallowing it because the last thing we want to be is a racist. Oh my God, be a racist. Well, you know what? There's so much bigotry against Christianity. There's enough for all of us out there, isn't it? It's okay to be a bigot against a Christian. You're allowed to do that, aren't you? Oh yeah, you sure are. Huh? Publicly, they do it. Jimmy Kimmel, I almost swore. Come on in, Pastor Tom.
Well, good morning, everybody. And I just want to tag off here something hit my spirit real good in this about the Bad News Bears. Yep. Well, I'm going to go back to the Bible because there's no new thing under the sun. First Samuel, let's go here. First Samuel 23:13. And then David and his men, about 600, arose, departed from Keilah. Now I'm going to go behind. These are the David's men. Well, where did they begin? Back in the cave, David, it says, therefore David departed. It's 1 Samuel 22:1. So we're going to start at the beginning. David's running from Saul, by the way. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now I'm going to be like a pastor here, which I hate when some things to do, but everybody go Adullam. We need those kind of caves, Coach, and you got one there in your $1 million set.
Yep.
It says, so when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now, if we remember, his brothers were one bitching about him wanting to go down and fight Goliath last time we hear it.
Right.
And everyone who is in, now listen to this, everyone who is in distress, everyone who is in debt, everyone who is discontented, gathered to him. So he became the captain over them. Oh, thanks a lot, Lord. That, what a team. And there were about how many? 400 men with him. And that scene, David's fleeing for his life. I mean, when you're down and out, you don't really want to be alone. I mean, you want to be alone and kind of like, whatever, David's in this cave. Here they come. So we got the beginning in the cave of Adullam. David flees to Adullam. And everybody in distress, complaining, and it goes on. About 400 men rally under his leadership. But then it grows in the wilderness. And his band grows from 400 to 600.
Hmm.
And then they're fugitives to the people. Second Samuel, you can keep going. David brought up men who were with him, every man his household, so they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then men of Judah came, and their anointed King David over the house of Judah. When Saul dies, those same followers bring their households and stand with David. He's anointed king over Judah. Then there's the fulfillment. In 2 Samuel 5, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. He got a good group. So the takeaway, Coach, God often brings his work with the humble, overlooked, and hurting. David's mighty men wasn't chosen from Saul's palace, but from the caves in the wilderness through faithfulness.
Wow.
God turned fugitives into warriors and outcast into a kingdom.
Wow.
God bless.
Amen. Amen. Alan Zeifer, quickly, Alan.
Hey, Coach, just real quick on the plaque thing there. You got generational curses and sins of the forefathers.
Amen,
never
brother.
Touched anymore.
Amen.
And everything, Charlie Kirk. Listen, when I worked in the prison system, Coach, I had inmates, teenage inmates, and look, every one of them, I mean 100%, daddy wasn't in the home. They didn't know their dad, really. They never really hung out with him. They didn't know their grandfather, but they were all in prison for the same deeds their dad did, the same crime the dad did and the granddad did, they did. Generation of curses, God said, for those that hate me, I'm going to put it on you to the fourth generation. Well, it keeps on going if we never break it through the blood of the Lamb. That's the problem right there. It's rebellion and witchcraft. Generation of curses, sins of the forefathers, and there ain't enough preachers out to preach it. Why? Because they're all up there behind the pulpit having sex with all the women in the pulpit that ain't married.
Tell them like it is, Alan. Amen. Amen. Come on, folks. Huh? Let's have a revolution in Christianity, huh? Let's have a revolution. Craig, hurry up. We got 2 minutes left. Or is your hand just stuck up in the air, huh? Amen, amen. All right, I'm running out of gas here. I'm running out of gas. Hey, folks, it's an old saying, if it's going to be, it's up to me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside each and every one of us. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, all power has been given unto us, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And for the most part, the theology of the church has been withdrawal. Withdrawal from the culture. Don't be contaminated with the world. Withdrawal from the culture. Charlie Kirk gets out there and expands the Christianity into the culture. Into the culture. 100 million people show up. 100 million. There's not one pastor in 10 that'll take his congregation outside the four walls of the church. Somebody explain that one to me, huh? We're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, and this is going to be our greatest hour. See you tomorrow.